Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well will be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done. Only the good die young.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Michael Walden. Welcome to today's topic on Ask the Blood Detective. Everything you needed to know and thought you'd never wanted to know about mold and fungus. You know, like candida. So this goes way beyond just simple candida. There are many different varieties of mold and fungal infections and ways in which these microorganisms affect our health in some very obvious ways, like chronic sinusitis and chronic cough, headaches, migraines, pneumonitis, which is an inflammatory condition of the lungs, various cancers triggering and or caused by all manner of autoimmune or lower immune conditions. But beyond the obvious conditions, there are all sorts of health problems and symptoms that may be from mold that we're exposed to in our daily environments, in our homes, in other homes, in our places of work, and also on surfaces. Mold can last for very long periods of time on surfaces. And also even in our refrigerators, not to mention on the foods that we eat. And medical sources and those governmental agencies that deal with, for example, acceptable mold counts in our food supply, I think fail to appreciate the fact that although there may be some guidelines of an acceptable amount of fungal contamination, let's say on grains or fruit, that in most people may not cause obvious illness, may very well, in fact, cause in many people all sorts of illness, but it's much more subtle and not appreciated. I think it's also important to understand that governmental guidelines for acceptable amounts of mold in food products, their very food supply, are not at all based on our increased susceptibilities to these different types of fungal organisms and mold potentially affecting our health. Now, I'm going to repeat this in a number of different practical ways, but let me just make that point again. It's not just your exposure to mold and fungus that can make you sick. It's the inherent resiliency of your immune system. And it's the combination of that resiliency of your immune system and the virulence or strength of the mold, which may have to do with the type of mold or fungus, the length of exposure. You know, if you're exposed to mold or fungal organisms for a very long time, it's reasonable to think that your probability of illness will be higher, but not necessarily. I've had many very sick people who have been exposed to quite toxic mold exposures and have come down with significant illness, but members of their family living in the same household where the mold and fungal contamination was were seemingly fine. And they may be fine now, and they may or may not be fine in the future, but it is fair to say that if your immune system is resilient enough, you may not get sick, even though you're exposed to mold and fungus every single day. So what my job has been as the director of longevity services at Integrated Nutrition, I practice in Westchester, which is about an hour north of New York City, is to help people manage their immune systems and their general health and nutrition so that they can help offset premature onset of disease. And certainly managing and focusing on the resiliency of our immune systems has been one of my primary goals. And for those of you who have not listened to my prior show called Everything Immune, you may want to listen to that show because it's basically a master's course discussing the various levels of our immune system, I have so many patients that see me that say, well, Dr. Wald, I take this tincture for my immune system, or I take these pills. But managing the immune system takes far more than just a single nutrient or herb, vitamin, or mineral. It involves a carefully balanced diet, one that contains the proper amounts of proteins, which we need for immune building, and also, of course, the right balance of fruits and vegetables and those sorts of things. And some of you are thinking, fruits? Well, isn't sugar going to grow fungus? We'll get to that in a little bit. But my point here is that what is called macronutrition, and macronutrition refers to proteins, carbohydrates, and fats, the main nutritional foodstuffs, as they're called, of our diet, that's basic. And then, in order to manage someone's immune system, particularly if they're dealing with an infection, which is a fungal in origin, is that usually a good many different nutritional supplements are required to produce what's known as a synergistic effect. So you can really have an effect upon your outcome. In other words, your body's ability to kill off the infection, if that's what we're speaking about. And that's really what we are speaking about. We're talking about preventing and managing nutritionally as well as we can how our body manages mold and fungi. So, you know, a mold is a fungus, and that grows and grows and grows. And when the mold grows, it has these extensions. They're sort of like finger-like projections, and they're called hyphae. But a fungus can turn into yeast, and these are different types of organisms. So it's important to understand that there are different types of mold. There's a diverse number of different mold, which are fungal species. And, you know, when you look at a piece of fruit or a vegetable that has a mold overgrowth, it, you know how it looks discolored and a kind of fuzzy, especially when it's on food? Well, the fuzziness is because the mold grows these hypha, which are like these, as I mentioned, these finger-like projections, and it looks fuzzy. So sometimes you can see it on foods. You'll commonly see fungal overgrowth on strawberries, for example, or blueberries and other types of fruit. They may or may not be as obvious on grains, but grains are highly contaminated with mold. What many people think is maybe a GMO reaction to a grain or a gluten grain may very well be a mold reaction. We know now that all of these people, these young people too in schools, for example, that are peanut sensitive, we know that it's not from the peanut. We know it's from the mold on the peanut. This has been proven out. Our genetics did not change overnight, where we have a generation of people now that are peanut sensitive. It's the mold. And the mold, post-harvesting of peanuts and grains, for example, and also fruits and vegetables, that's the opportunistic time when molds can overgrow, when they are moved and when they are exposed to different temperatures, which would allow for mold to replicate and copy themselves and contaminate our food supply. So when you look at food and you see those fluffy white sort of threads, you know, of mold, and they look kind of dusty in texture, that's because of spores that are forming on the food itself. And sometimes the spores are colored, making the fungus look more obvious, you know, when you're looking at it with the naked eye. But oftentimes you do not see it. And that's when it's also quite dangerous. So if it's true that we can't always see mold, how do we protect ourselves? Well, one of the ways, and I'll be exploring this more during the remainder of the show, is to make sure that your digestive tract is in very good shape. For one reason, the small intestine contains about 70% of your immune system, in the areas in the small intestine known as the Peyer's patches. But beyond just your immune system being present in the small intestine, there's a good segment of the population, particularly people ages 50 and over, that do not have enough stomach acid in their stomachs. And that's called hypochlorhydria, or low stomach acid. Or they may have absolutely no stomach acid, and that's a condition called achlorhydria. And some people can induce hypo or achlorhydria, which is low or no stomach acid, if they take antacids or, you know, things like proton pump inhibitors and H2 blockers, because those drugs are designed to either reduce or completely shut off the pumps in the stomach that makes stomach acid. Now, why would that make someone more susceptible to mold and having mold and yeast overgrow and disseminate throughout our bodies? Well, a part of the answer, at least to that, is stomach acid helps denature, break down, kill off, and sterilize the stomach. And if there's not enough stomach acid, then that can't happen. So the foods we eat that have either obvious mold overgrowth or contain mold that we do not see with the naked eye make their way further down into the digestive tract. They release various types of endotoxins, which are very highly toxic byproducts of the mold's growth and their decay. And these things can leak through the intestinal tract, causing leaky gut syndrome and an overgrowth of fungal mold, fungi and mold in the small intestine. And as you can see, this just creates a perpetuating cycle of just a mess. And then what happens too is when mold overgrows in the intestinal tract, that tends to offset the good bugs, which include healthy probiotic organisms that the body makes, plus not just antibacterial or bacterial probiotics, but also fungal probiotics. So it's very important, in my opinion, that an individual is tested for and figures out how much, if any, stomach acid in the form of betaine hydrochloride. That's one of the supplements that I have in my company, Blood Detective, on blooddetective.com, betaine hydrochloride. And that, again, is stomach acid. And then secondly, you'd want to support the small intestine to help offset the propensity for microorganisms like mold to make their way deeper into the human body and cause all kinds of havoc everywhere. You'd want to use pancreatic enzymes. So I tend to place my patients on a product called Detox Absorb, which is a combination of protein, carbohydrate, and fat digesting enzymes. Now, the point of taking enzymes and the point of properly supplementing with stomach acid is to, and this is very important, is to help establish a much healthier environment of the intestinal tract, one that is much more inhospitable to mold overgrowth, and also is conducive for the production of healthy fungi and probiotics, which are of bacterial origin. A very key point to understand about mold and also bacteria and fungi of different types is that many people's intestinal tracts and bodies are populated with these organisms, but they may not appear sick. They may never get sick from these organisms. But here's what happens when the environment of the intestinal tract or the body changes. If the intestinal tract, for whatever reasons, is sick and there's a certain environment there, that can allow these organisms that were living in there, not causing much of a problem, to literally change. And the change is called pleomorphism. They become sort of passive organisms, and then they become much more aggressive and deadly and even pathogenic. So it's not just the organism that's the problem, but it's the environment that you put the organism in. That's why, as I mentioned, some individuals may have, let's say, stool analysis testing done, and they find all kinds of bugs, but they're fine. But another person has, you know, maybe the same amount of so-called bad bugs, but their health overall is so much worse, so much poorer, that these bugs become more aggressive. So how do you deal with that? Well, you need to maintain the entire integrity of your immune system and your health as well as you can. So the first thing that I think individuals need, I certainly would put them on my Multigenics multivitamin, because that contains just the basic nutrition that most individuals need in addition to, let's just call it a balanced diet for argument's sake. And then, if needed, certain amounts of betaine hydrochloride, which I mentioned is a stomach acid. And then also the detox absorb, which is the form of digestive enzyme that I happen to provide. You know, you can use any pharmaceutical grade enzyme or acid or multivitamin. I like to base the doses on the individual when we're dealing with building immunity against mold or any microorganisms. It is very key, as I've said throughout many of my shows, to take a serious look at what's known as the body composition. A simple body composition test can tell you what your metabolic rate is. It can tell you the percentage of you that is muscle, water, and fat. You might say, what does that have to do with mold and immunity? It has everything to do with it, because an increase in lean organ mass is generally associated with better health and better immunity. And the amount of protein, fats, good carbohydrates, and even nutrient levels, vitamins, minerals, herbs, should always include an analysis of the body composition. Otherwise, dosing tends to be wildly off. So it's important not to just talk about the right supplements and the right foods, but it needs to be based on metabolic rate, at least when there's a serious infection like mold. So just a little bit of a summary of some other key points so far. So, you know, we know that molds biodegrade natural materials, like our foods, that they are responsible for food spoilage and also damage to property like buildings. So these organisms are very, very tough. They do have some beneficial effects, though, when they're used in biotechnology and correctly and in food sciences, because they're used to make various foods, fermenting foods and different beverages, even antibiotics, certain pharmaceutical medications, even some nutrients like red rice yeast and enzymes. But there are many diseases of both humans and animals that are caused by molds. And diseases may result from either sensitivity to, like an allergy to the mold spores, or from the growth of these very aggressive pathogenic molds within the body itself. And a person can carry these molds for many years to decades. And as they grow, they release more and more toxins. They derange more and more body functions. And on the other hand, you know, we eat these things. We not only eat them, we inhale them literally in by breathing. And we can inhale very toxic compounds produced by molds known as mycotoxins. And I can tell you, I've had patients who have been poisoned by mycotoxins, and it is a very, very tough recovery. The standard of care are very powerful antifungal medications, generally speaking, and they don't always work. And even when they do, these sorts of medications tend to produce resistant molds, just like antibiotics produce resistant bacteria, and they may then perpetuate themselves and grow, and over time create an even worse infection. So that's why always, in my opinion, nutrition needs to be fundamental whenever there is any type of mold or infection of any variety. Even if you choose to use medications as either in combination with nutrition or instead of, the basic diet at the very, very least needs to be managed, the fundamental nutrition of an individual. It's also important, in my opinion, to manage the intestinal inflammation that often can result from pathogenic molds that make their way into the body. So one of the things that I use is called Detox Immunoglobulin G. Now, Immunoglobulin G, I've mentioned this during my immune show, is actually part of our immune system. We have two basic immune systems. One's called the humoral immune system, and the humoral immune system makes immunoglobulins like Immunoglobulin G, and also Immunoglobulin A and Immunoglobulin M. And then there is our white blood cells, which they form what's known as the cell-mediated immune system. We need both of these immune systems to work together against molds and infections that have affected the body. And there are other parts of the immune system too, but my point is the detox immunoglobulin G has been shown to help reduce inflammation and oxidative degenerative stress in the intestinal tract, helps to plug up the leaky sort of pores in the gut and help recovery. And oftentimes when people do have intestinal infection of molds, which by the way can look just like colitis, many individuals no doubt have been misdiagnosed with ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease or proctitis, these inflammatory bowel diseases, when in fact they may have been triggered by infections. So this is a very important area of healthcare that needs our attention. And since I mentioned at the opening of the show that, you know, molds are ubiquitous, they are absolutely everywhere. We touch them, we breathe them, we eat them all day long. It's important to do certain things for our nutritional health on a daily basis for prevention, or at least to reduce our risk of becoming susceptible to these exposures. Zinc is very important when there is a mold issue in terms of immunity. Zinc levels in the range of 25 to 50 milligrams of a particular form of zinc, zinc picolinate, would be optimal. I also suggest that people have their zinc levels checked. There's also a zinc taste test that might be helpful, which basically involves the use of something called zinc sulfate, which is a liquid zinc. And when you swish it around in your mouth, if you don't taste it, you're generally deficient in zinc. And then you would supplement with zinc until you do taste the liquid zinc. The test is not 100%, but when it does agree with blood levels, it can be a very useful thing because it only takes a few seconds to swish around a little zinc. So I perform a zinc taste test on virtually all of my patients. And then it's very important too for managing molds that your protein is absorbed. It's of high quality, and proteins build the immune molecules, and proteins build our lean body mass. And I said earlier that the better your lean body mass, the better your immune system, generally speaking. So for those people who think they have or do have undernutrition or malabsorption, a lot of people have malabsorption. It's been estimated that over 50% of those over 50 have some form of malabsorption. And malabsorption, of course, would cause issues with your lean body mass and your immunity and make you more susceptible to the molds that you are invariably consuming on a daily basis. So, you know, in medicine, they speak about molds as being opportunistic pathogens, you know, of human beings, which means that if the opportunity is there, if the body in which the mold is now inhabiting is susceptible, then those molds can become pathogenic, which means disease-causing. Now, it's known that all forms of mold require moisture for their growth, and, you know, various aqueous environments like pools and lakes and streams, they're loaded with mold. And typically, mold secrete enzymes known as hydrolytic enzymes, and they hydrolyze or they degrade foods, and they also degrade the body. But very importantly, molds manufacture a particular group of toxins called mycotoxins. And mycotoxins, for one thing, inhibit the growth of other good bugs in the body and other good bugs that are also on food that would fight against the mold. So certain molds are much more toxic potentially than others. But most molds tend to produce some amount of these mycotoxins. Again, these very, very toxic compounds, which have been proven to cause a good amount of human illness and even death. So we already know molds grow on stored foods, you know, on stored foods in your refrigerator, for example, or anywhere else. And also our pets are susceptible as well. In fact, there have been cases where mold-infested dog and cat food killed hundreds of animals. There were lawsuits involved here. And I just think a lot of human illness is mistaken as something else, and not enough attention is paid to our food supplies. And when we talk about organic foods, you have to realize too that even though food is organic and GMO free, there is mold on that food. There may in fact be more mold on organic food than inorganic food. I am not making an argument to not eat organic food. I certainly do whenever possible. I'm just stating a fact that if we're going to eat food that is organic, then we are certainly going to be consuming mold. And we shouldn't think that there is no mold just because it's organic. That was a question that someone emailed me recently, so I thought I would mention it here. So, you know, there are many strategies for reducing mold and that are used in food preservation, like salting of foods and jams and bottling of food, freezing it, drying it, pickling it, all of that to help prevent or slow down a mold growth, as well as slowing down the growth of other types of microorganisms that commonly grow on foods. And remember, the molds reproduce themselves. They just keep asexually reproducing, producing large amounts of very small spores. And these spores can become, and they do become, airborne. And they are dispersed through the wind, which is known as wind dispersal. And they can cling to everything that they land on. And they can survive for extreme amounts of time, in extremes of temperature, extremes of pressure. You know, molds tend to love oxygen-poor environments. That's why using hyperbaric oxygen and other forms of therapies that enhance oxygenation are probably a very good way to create an inhospitable environment for molds. But that doesn't always work. That won't work unless the person who's infected, for example, has a very good immune system. Even traditional medicine is quite well aware that individuals who are susceptible to mold and fungal overgrowth, they have immune compromise. And they may never know that they have immune compromise until they get these infections. You know, that's a very important point, because I will have people say to me, "Dr. Wald, you know, I was always, like, I never got sick before this." Well, that is sometimes an indication of a low immune system. because when the immune system is working well, it produces physiologic changes that result in symptoms, which are warning signs that something is amiss. So we know also that molds grow on all sorts of dead organic matter everywhere in nature. And sometimes so much that, as I've said, we can see them with our eyes. But also in artificial environments, you know, other than nature, like buildings, you know, due to humidity and temperature, these colonies grow of mold. And you'll see them on your wall. I'm sure everyone is familiar. They may look dark or black or brown or greenish or yellowish. They discolor the walls in homes. You know, I recently had a patient who I suspect has a mold infection, that the mold has disseminated throughout his body, because he comes in complaining of chronic cough. He had seen ENTs and I believe a gastroenterologist, and he got nowhere with that. It has been many months, and he has this chronic cough for which he's been put on antacids and even steroids. But he also has a history of chronic sinusitis and migraines. Now, forget about alternative or holistic medicine here for a moment. Traditional medicine knows that chronic cough, chronic sinusitis, and most sinusitis, by the way, is not bacterial. Most sinusitis is, in fact, fungal. And chronic cough are all potentially indications of mold infestation that has disseminated in the respiratory tract of the individual. Now, I was interviewing this gentleman, and I said to him, "Now, is there any chance that you have some mold growth in your home that you're unaware of, or maybe you are aware of?" He said, "Oh yes." He says, "We have a bathroom that's filled with mold. We try not to use it that often, although my son uses it a lot." And when I heard this, I immediately suggested that this gentleman have some professionals come in to consider some remediation, repair that, remove that stuff right away. And probably also to check the concentration of mold in the air. And in addition to that, I suggested that mold antibodies should be performed, or at the very least, this gentleman should further consider tests of immunity. So we're looking into that right now, but the symptoms made sense, and then when his answer was so affirmative to such obvious mold, I was astounded. Many people simply do not realize how toxic this stuff is. So we know that few molds begin growing at temperatures of around 39 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 4 degrees Celsius or below. So that's why food's typically refrigerated at this temperature, at about 39 degrees Fahrenheit. But when conditions do not enable the growth to take place, then, you know, these molds, they just lie dormant, in a dormant state for many, you know, many months, many years even. These things can outlive, you know, any human being, and they often do. When a person is infested with this stuff, they often will, or sometimes will, result in the death of that individual, and the molds are just happy as can be. They outlive the person. They literally eat the individual for their nutrition. Molds can survive very harsh conditions. You know, they found molds in the snow-covered soils of Antarctica, in refrigeration, of course. Even in highly acidic solvents, antibacterial soap does not kill mold. So they're very, very tough to kill. But the body's innate intelligence, when fed correctly, and when, I believe, supplemented correctly, gives us our best defense against the inevitable exposure that we have to mold on a daily basis. Now, not all mold is bad. We know, for example, that Kojy molds, those are a group of mold species known as Aspergillus. And They've been cultured in Eastern Asia for many, many centuries, and they're used to ferment, soybean and wheat mixtures to make soybean a paste and soy sauce. And what happens is the koji mold breaks down the starch in sweet potatoes or barley or rice, and that's a process known as saccharification. And in that process, the molds are used to actually produce very healthy foods. You know, red rice yeast that I mentioned earlier is a product of a mold. The mold is known as meniscus, and it grows, they have it grow on rice. And it's very common in Asian diets. And this form of yeast contains several compounds that inhibit cholesterol synthesis. So that's why red rice yeast is a very common remedy in natural medicine for high cholesterol, except a person would generally need about 3,000 milligrams. So most people I've ever seen using it get no effect at all. And they're taking the right thing. They're simply not taking the right dose. It's all about dose. And there's been a few studies that show that red rice yeast, if you use it as a dietary supplement, and if you combine it with fish oil, and I like the DHA oil in a liquid form, and also healthy lifestyle changes help to reduce the bad cholesterols as effectively as the statin drugs do, without any of the side effect of the statins. You know, statin medications cause many potential nutritional issues. They can lower and deplete the body of CoQ10 and beta-carotene and other fat-soluble nutrients like fish oils, the very nutrients that help lower cholesterol in the first place. So let's talk about the health effects a bit more of mold. So I've said a couple of times that molds are ubiquitous. They are in the household, they're in workplace dust. Mold spores are present in very large quantities. They are known to be a health hazard in humans, certainly causing allergic reactions and very often respiratory problems. But as I said a number of times, molds produce mycotoxins, and these are very toxic compounds, and they can cause sickness in both animals and humans. There is a study that shows that exposure to mycotoxins can cause death, certainly, and all variety of neurological problems stemming from their destructive properties upon the nervous system and the brain, maybe leading to dementia and neurologic problems, even Alzheimer's disease, even Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, migraines, neuropathies, degeneration of nerves. And they are not easy to kill. So depending upon the organ system or systems that are being attacked by the mold, it's important to nutritionally support those tissues also. So for example, if I have a person who's got neurologic symptoms, I will give them DHA oil. I will give them ubiquinol, which is the active form of CoQ10, not ubiquinone, ubiquinol, which helps build the what's called the mitochondrial integrity of the nervous system, which helps maintain the health of the nervous system. Plus, I put together sort of a multivitamin for the nervous system called Neuroimmune Protect. And I designed that actually for myself because I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis when I was a teenager. So when I learned about nutrition, I put together certain supplements that many of my patients use now, but I certainly use myself. Now, of course, the best way to prevent a mold infection is to make sure that your home is not a breeding ground for mold. So mold in the home is generally found in, dark or steamy areas or damp areas, like, the kitchen, the bathroom, cluttered storage areas, basements, certainly flooded areas of the home that were previously flooded, plumbing spaces, any area at all with poor ventilation, and outdoors too, in just humid environments. And, itchy eyes or watery eyes. And as I said before, chronic cough, headaches, migraines, just chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia-type symptoms, chronic sinusitis, rashes, frequent sneezing. These can all be from mold. A lot of people blame these just on allergens. Well, you might be allergic to mold, or you might have mycotoxin poisoning or mold infestation, not only in your home or workplace, but in your body. So we know that molds do pose a hazard to human beings based on the virulence or aggressiveness of the mold itself, the species, and also, as I've said, the your immune resiliency. You know, what's very interesting is that, the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention had a report entitled Mold Prevention Strategies and Possible Health Effects in the Aftermath of Hurricanes and Major Floods. They know that after those sort of catastrophes, that excessive exposure to mold contaminated, materials often does occur. And the adverse health effects are, they're astounding. Now, people die from these exposures, primarily because they're exposed to mold spores in very abnormally high quantities. And then there's, of course, the stress of the catastrophes that lower their immune systems. And when you put those two hazards together, you're in big trouble. And it's also not an uncommon infection of human beings to have fungal infection. And those are called mycoses or mycosis. And there are so many different types of fungal infections. And sadly, traditional medicine antifungals are not very effective. Many of these infective processes in the body, the molds can encapsulate themselves. Like actinomyces, which is a type of fungal infection that tends to be secondary to immune defects. And that actinomycosis, that fungal infection, builds a fibrous coat around it. So even when you pump these people through, full of intravenous antifungals, they often do not respond. It's also important too to recognize whether or not you have an increased susceptibility if exposed to mold of getting sick. So there have been studies that have shown that people who are just sensitive, they suffer from allergies already or asthma, or they're known to have some sort of compromised immune system problem. They, if they're exposed to damp or moldy buildings, they will be at increased risk of health problems from the inflammatory effects of these molds and the toxic responses that the body has to these mold spores. Sometimes the body responds so violently to these mold spores by releasing its own endotoxins that the person, in a sense, kills themselves. The most common health problem, though, to molds is allergic reaction. Again, in the respiratory tract, on the skin, asthma can be exacerbated, lung problems, known as hypersensitivity, pneumonitis, which is an inflammation of the layers of the lungs. And again, the individual's susceptibility to mold may have to do with whether or not they have other types of sensitivity. So if you are one of those people, you want to do a few things. You want to eat, a very healthy diet. You want to take your fruits and vegetables and perhaps your grains, and you want to clean them in a mild acid bath. Or one thing that I think is very effective for reducing the mold count on foods before you eat it is to use 3% hydrogen peroxide liquid, which is sold in pharmacies and grocery stores in these brown plastic bottles. And that's food grade hydrogen peroxide. And that may have some effect for killing mold and also other bacteria. But it won't kill everything, but at least it's a start. I also think it's important to maximize your vitamin C intake using a buffered vitamin C. I produce Detox Eliminate, which is a highly buffered vitamin C. And I generally would begin by giving that to people, my patients, by having them take a half of a teaspoon or a level teaspoon every 30 minutes until they have diarrhea. And then they would stop. And the amount of vitamin C they need is not that much, but it's the amount just before the diarrhea that they would take in two or three equally divided doses. I call that a vitamin C flush. The thing about vitamin C is that there's evidence that it improves immunity on a number of levels. It's anti-inflammatory, and it can help the body fight various infections, including molds. But just taking vitamin C is not enough. We need to be saturated with it. At least that's what I think. I also would place people on a general nutritional formula that I put together called Immune Balance that contains a variety of herbs that have been shown in studies to help manage the immune system. So when you use a variety of these different techniques together, you'll have a much greater resiliency against mold and other infections. You know, infections are fast becoming the number one cause of morbidity and mortality worldwide. Infections that our bodies once dealt with quite easily are resistant to all drugs, and this is a problem that we will be dealing with for generations, most likely. I also tend to use a Candida complex that I put together that, please don't misunderstand me, just because it's called Candida doesn't mean it's all a person needs. Some people need a combination of enhanced nutrition in the form of diet and reduction of stress and lifestyle and proper hydration and nutritional supplements, as well as medication. But this Candida complex at least has some evidence-based herbal synergists that I put together, which is the very minimum I would have someone on. I also recommend a pharmaceutical-grade probiotic, probiotics that are both antifungal and antibacterial. The probiotic that I produce is called Superbugs. And it has a combination of, again, pharmaceutical-grade probiotic mixtures that help reestablish a gut and immune integrity in the intestinal tract. Now, the supplements that I produce are not the ones used in the studies. When I say there are studies that have shown this, that, or the other thing, I produce these products after reading thoroughly the scientific and nutrition literature. And then I would optimize the doses for each person. And then I mentioned before my detox immunoglobulin G. Immunoglobulin G is in the physician's desk reference as a traveler's diarrhea cure because it reduces inflammation in the bowel, it helps reduce leaky gut and overgrowth or small intestine bacterial overgrowth or SIBO of the gut. And there are a number of concentrates of plants in the form of four superfood products that I produce, because I think it's important that a person consume a large amount of plant products for general health. And not everyone can eat 6, 8, 10, or 12 pieces of clean fruits and vegetables every day. So my Detox 1, Detox 2, Detox 3, and Detox 4 products, I usually begin an individual on a scoop of each, all mixed together. They're delicious tasting. There are four different colors, purple, red, orange, and green, based on the concentration of different plant products that I have there in those products. So that's a base that I put everyone on. And then for those people who are too thin or believe that they have undernutrition of protein, we need absorbable, and I prefer organic protein sources. So my Detox 5 product is an organic rice-based protein with nutritional synergists. And then finally, Saccharomyces boulardii, I'll say that again, Saccharomyces boulardii is a beneficial anti-yeast yeast. And that is very powerful stuff. It's known in the gastroenterology literature as a real treatment for inflammatory bowel disease and also to treat an extremely difficult infection called C. difficile. You know, C. difficile causes several 100,000 deaths per year in the United States. And C. difficile, that term is from the French word difficult to kill. They are. These bugs have resisted antibiotics, and that is how we created this very, very deadly infection called C. difficile. But Saccharomyces boulardii has saved lives. Now, I mentioned that some molds produce mycotoxins that pose very, very serious health problems in humans and also animals. And the term toxic mold refers to the specific mold species that produce these mycotoxins. Now, one of these mold species is called Stachybotrys, and exposure to high levels of this mycotoxin can cause severe neurologic problems and often does result in death. Again, I mention this not to depress you, but to emphasize the fact that we have a way to help resist these molds, and it's important that you practice good health hygiene as it is, eating organically when possible, reducing or eliminating entirely your intake of refined and processed carbohydrates and simple sugars, such as the glucoses and sucroses. But the fruit sugar that you find in fruits are not to be eliminated. Those are not the types of sugars that feed fungal organisms, contrary to popular thought in natural medicine. It's the simple sugars that are primarily responsible for that. But more important than even the, or as important, I should say, as the sugar intake might be, of again, the refined and processed sugars, it's the immune system. So sure, sugars that are simple sugars may suppress the immune system, but many other nutritional problems and other health problems can cause immune deficits that are not fixed just because you eliminate all the refined and processed foods in your diet. But the point I wanted to make is that it's important to practice certain basic things each day. Because once you develop these infections, that sometimes it's very difficult to catch up with them. So I certainly take my supplements every day. I like to base supplementation on laboratory work and questionnaires and health histories, and then trying different things with individuals, and then checking back to their testing and making appropriate adjustments to optimize their health, particularly those individuals who are currently dealing with chronic infections of a fungal or mold origin. I mean, I see people all the time with parasitic fungi infections of their skin, you know, such as athlete's foot and tinea curis. These are very difficult to manage. I also, though, like to use my Buffered C product, which is called Detox Eliminate. It's a powder, and I rub it on my hands. And sometimes I'll take a little bit of the tips of my fingers, I'll touch the nares of my nostrils, because when organisms land on this stuff, you get to, some of them don't survive the exposure to vitamin C. And that's just something that I do each day, because I'm shaking hands all the time. So you never know, you know, what you're being exposed to. But we know that immune compromise is the issue, but I feel that medicine misses it, because if you are not severely immune compromised, that is so blatantly obvious, medicine sometimes tends to think that people cannot walk around as I would call the walking wounded. They're walking around with compromised immune systems. They just don't know it. They're just not obviously sick. But until they are, they're not even recognized as immunocompromised by this, you know, the standards of medicine for the most part. And that, again, is where we have to become proactive. Just a few other important concepts before we end today's show on mold and fungal infections and nutritional protection is that of pH. the acid-base balance in the body, I would highly recommend you listen to my show, pH Lies, because I don't think ever there has been a more accurate show that cuts through some of the ridiculous concepts about pH and the very important ways that you can change your pH and how and in what direction you want to change it. So saying that we should all be alkaline is an incorrect and absolutely wrong statement. And how can I prove that to you in about 30 seconds? Well, here's 20 seconds. Number one, we're supposed to be alkaline in our mouths for alkaline digesting enzymes to digest starch. We need to be acid in our stomachs to break down proteins. We need to have a slightly acidic environment in our large intestine. Our blood pH needs to be roughly 7.4. That's to the left of neutral. And our urine slightly acid. So to say we should be alkaline makes no sense. Eating alkaline foods is another matter. Not that every alkaline food you eat actually makes you alkaline, because as I just said, that makes very little sense. But I can tell you that when the blood pH, not the urine or saliva here, we're just talking about blood for a second. When the blood pH moves out of the range less than 7.3, or let's say higher than 7.45, all kinds of catastrophic changes occur in the body, and an environment is set up that microorganisms just can have full reign. Not to mention, the body's enzymes do not work well in abnormal pH environments. So it's important to balance your diet and your nutrition and know that you have a healthy blood pH. And again, I'm saying blood pH. And while we're on the topic, I'll mention alkaline water, which in my opinion is dangerous to most people drinking it, because they're drinking it all day long, because most people who drink alkaline water are very health conscious and they're drinking lots of water, except they might as well be dilute Tums all day long, because the bicarbonate which they use to alkalinize the water kills your stomach acid. And remember what I said earlier in the show, that would produce a higher pH in the stomach, meaning less acid. And if you don't have acid in your stomach, you have no chance of breaking down bacteria, viruses, fungi, molds, parasites in the foods that you eat. Your stomach is actually your first line of immune defense when you really think about it. You know, the topic of molds, fungus, and infections is so fundamentally important. We couldn't possibly cover it in this hour, but I hope that you felt I did some justice to your awareness, or enhanced the knowledge and understanding that you've already had. I'm open to any questions and comments, including new show topics. You can email me your show topics to info@blooddetective.com. And you can look at my Blood Detective website for my supplement products, or you can work with me as a patient at Integrated Nutrition. You can call my office at 914-242-8844. I provide not just in-person work, but also Skype and phone consultation work. I treat and work with people that are all over the place. So I work alone. I am your only contact. I want to make sure that I am handling my patients' needs. So you feel free to call me at 914-242-8844. Send your questions, comments, and show topics to info@blooddetective.com. Please look at my blog at the website www.integratednutritionny.com. You can listen to all the other radio shows I've done on the blog there. The next topic is going to be fundamentals and advanced concepts for maximizing your fitness. Well, I'll be speaking about all manner of exercise and really talking about what exercise is, how much you need to do, how often you need to do it, and how to exercise to enhance things like detoxification and specific health problems like nerve problems or vascular problems. So please join me, the Blood Detective, on Ask the Blood Detective next time. And thank you so much for listening to today's show. Have a great day.
Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. Oh, but sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they showed you.